All right, the next case is Louis Del Favero Orchids versus Scott Reedkes. Jesse Wilkerson is here for the appellant. Eduardo Lombard is here for the appellees. And Mr. Wilkerson, you may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court. I'm Jesse Wilkerson. I represent Louis Del Favero Orchids, the appellant in this case. The issue in this case is whether the due process clause's minimum guarantees of fairness apply in determining who may enter Florida's growing $800 million medical marijuana industry.
Counsel, let me ask you this. I read your complaint looking for where your property right entitlement is set out. And it appeared to me that everywhere you claim a right, it's to the procedures established in the Florida law. And I went back through and said, well, there's got to be more to it than that, because you have to have a property entitlement before you have any due process procedural entitlement. But am I wrong? If I'm not, lead me to the paragraph which says that you have a state law entitlement to anything other than the procedures that you've set out in your complaint.
So I would lead you to the... not necessarily to an area of the complaint, but it is cited in the complaint. It's Florida statute section 381.986 subsection 8B, which states that subject to the requirements in paragraphs A, 2 through 4, the department shall issue a license to an applicant if the applicant meets the requirements of this section and pays the initial application fee. That statute
where is that
is on to a list.
Where is we judge
ten
your
or
complaint.
So, objective counsel. Criteria.
Counsel.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you continuing to talk when I'm trying to ask you a question. So let me ask you the question.
Sorry, you cut out for a little bit.
I'm sorry that I did. Where in the complaint you allege that is your property right, that the procedures of the due process clause apply to?
So that would be in so in every count that we allege a property interest, and we allege the constitutional provision that requires the state to review those licenses. We also allege in the complaint that Del Favero met all the criteria under the statute that I just cited, stating that they met their criteria, and that statute says that the department shall issue licenses when that criteria is met.
Which is a procedure.
No, it says they shall issue a license.
But you allege that he has this, I'm just pick one, paragraph 112. Del Favero enjoys a state-created property interest in having its MMTC application reviewed by the Florida Department, et cetera, in accordance with the constitutional section and the Florida statute, having them reviewed by, in accordance with it. That's a procedural guarantee.
Well, the statute provides the substantive guarantee. Furthermore,
no, but you didn't allege that he was denied the right to a default license, which is a property entitlement or whatnot. And I don't know that it would be, but you in accordance with.
And the statute that I provided was not the default license provision. It's just the provision that provides the overall framework for the department granting these licenses.
The procedures.
The procedures, yes, that grant the license, the statute says that they shall issue a license if you meet these criteria. So it's a procedure to get the license, but the statute says that that they should issue the license. So the property right is in the license itself once you meet the procedural criteria.
Yeah, but you said the property interest is in those procedures.
Well, in that sense, any property interest is going to be in a procedure because
No, it isn't. you have a property right, if you're a teacher, under the tenure laws, to keep your job, unless there's cause for you to be fired. It's not in the procedures. The procedures are apart from that.
That's correct. But this court has held on multiple occasions that when it comes to licensures, applicants hold certain rights if certain criteria are met. One of those being if the state law in question provides objective criteria to evaluate against the person who's applying, then an applicant can assert a procedural due process right in the thing that they're applying for, whether it's a government contract, whether it's a license. So the fact that Del Fabbro didn't hold a license at this time doesn't mean that they cannot.
What's your best case on the property interest is in the procedures? What's your best case?
So the best one is Patuala Electric Membership Corporation v. Whitworth, and that's 951 Federal 2nd, 1248. And in that case, there was a state vendor manual. If they met certain objective criteria, such as price, performance, capacity to perform, and in that case, the court said because the bidder manual restricted the state's options of who they could choose based on those objective criteria, the person seeking the contract could assert a property interest in that contract, just as Del Fabbro has done here with the license that they're seeking.
Let me ask you this. Maybe this is the better way to get past this. You're then not arguing that if state law provides certain procedures, let's say, and they don't use the word entitlement, these procedures are the ones that apply before you can fire somebody with tenure. And let's say one of the procedures is that the hearing shall be conducted within 10 days. And it turns out the department never gets around to having the hearing until 20 days. You're not saying that that's a federal due process violation, that they exceeded the time period for the hearing set out in the procedures, are you?
It depends on the nature of the state law that gives you the right to that procedure. So in this instance,
I've just told you what it is. The state law says these are the procedures that shall apply, and one of them is a 10-day deadline for holding the hearing, and they don't get around to it for 20 days. Is that a federal due process violation?
That in and of itself may not be, but if, as in this case, they also said, and you have the right to bring a challenge if this deadline is not adhered to under the Supreme Court's precedent in Kraft, then that cause of action is indication of a state law property interest in having the hearing within that time.
Okay.
If it's all right with the court, I'd like to address the issue provided in the notice regarding McKinney v. Pate very briefly. And I see that I have 2 minutes. I just wanted to state that McKinney v. Pate is a decision where that applies a doctrine that comes from two Supreme Court cases, Parrott v. Taylor and Hudson v. Palmer. And those specifically deal with, quote, random and unauthorized deprivations of life, liberty, or property. McKinney explicitly invoked that doctrine. And because the facts at issue in that case were a biased decision maker where the applicant was in fact provided a hearing, he just claimed that the decision maker on top of that hearing was biased. Unlike in McKinney v. Pate, we're arguing that there is no hearing that applies and that the general rule governing due process claims announced in the Supreme Court's case of Zinnerman v. Birch should apply. And these are two separate avenues and they are mutually exclusive. McKinney is the exception, not the rule. And I believe a very persuasive case on this point is Barr v. Johnson, decided by this court in 2019 at 788 Federal Appendix 298. Where the court made that distinction and stated that where a person was not given a hearing at all before their business was closed, the McKinney rule did not apply because it was not a random and unauthorized deprivation. And in fact, the state had an opportunity to give a hearing but chose not to. The court in that case said that.
Have you got any published decisions supporting you on that?
Well, McKinney itself specifically distinguishes itself from Zinnerman v. Birch, which is a Supreme Court decision that governs these claims, and that's at 494 U.S. 113, and specifically distinguish the Parrott-Hudson rule that McKinney relied on in cases where there is an opportunity to provide a pre-deprivation hearing. So that's the authority that I would rely on, which is binding on this court. And I see that I'm out of town.
All right, thank you, Mr. Wilkinson. We'll hear from Mr. Lombard.
Good morning, may it please the court, Ed Lombard of Randy Law in Tallahassee, Florida, on behalf of the Florida Department of Health, State Surgeon General, Dr. Rivkes, the former Surgeon General, Dr. Phillip, the Governor's Deputy Chief of Staff, Ms. Coppola, and two other state employees, Mr. Bax and Ms. St. Laurent. The district court correctly determined the Delpha Barrels claims here are fatally flawed as a matter of law. Assuming there's a property interest here created by state law, the U.S. Constitution simply does not protect any interest in contract, and thus the complaint was properly dismissed. But the judgment was also correct for an additional reason.
I'm sorry, counsel, you sound like you're in a well to me. I'm having a hard time understanding it.
Is this better, Judge?
It's not worse. You said, assuming there is a property interest, what did you say after that?
That assuming there's a property interest, the U.S. Constitution does not protect any interest in contraband, in this case, marijuana.
I understand.
And therefore, the judgment was correct for that reason. The judgment was also correct, and I think you've pointed it out, Judge Carnes, because there is no state property interest at issue here under these facts. So let me start with the first one that's very linear.
Counsel?
Yes.
If we were to agree with you that there's no property interest under Florida state law, then we don't need to reach the issue of whether there is a federal constitutional interest, right?
Correct. It can be looked at two or even maybe three different ways. If there's no state property interest at all, correct. It doesn't matter whether it rises to federal protection under the 14th Amendment. If there were, we've argued it already, the 14th Amendment doesn't protect that kind of interest. And then I think the McKinney line of cases, the McKinney case and its progeny supports the concept here that in any event, the state, the sovereign, has provided plenty of process and has mechanisms in place today, and they were in place then, that afford Delpha Vero the process it may be entitled to assert whatever claims it thinks it has under state law.
Counsel, based on the amendment, is the state judicial process a part of the McKinney processes that we should be considering?
I think it is. And what you're referring to, I believe, is the constitutional provision that says if the department does not begin registering licensees, or the department fails to adopt reasonable regulations within the time provided, that any citizen in Florida may bring an action to compel the department to comply with its obligations. Our perspective is that that is both pre and post deprivation process. And in fact, in this case, Delpha Vero was involved in litigation in state court, where it was alleging in part that the department was not complying with those constitutional provisions well before they brought their 1983 action. So counsel,
counsel, isn't there still a case that's pending that was certified to the Florida Supreme Court related to the litigation on the law that came out of the amendment?
Yes, Your Honor, it is the Florabrum versus Department of Health case. The Supreme Court accepted jurisdiction and is pending.
So is it your position that McKinney would require us at the very least to wait for a decision from the Supreme Court in that case before we could evaluate whether there was a property interest that the state processes were insufficient to protect?
I don't think you need to wait, and here's why. One of their claims is that the department is not processing their application today. They want theirs processed today. The department didn't review it, analyze it substantively, and deny it. The department told them, you're too early. Our regulations have a provision in them that say we'll open a window for everyone to come in to apply. The reason there needs to be a window is because, unlike, it's incorrect what the appellant is arguing, that anybody can get a license. The legislature has framed a limited licensure program. So you may check all the statutory boxes, but that doesn't mean you get a license. You have to demonstrate.
Right. There's a discretionary element, because there's only.
Correct. A very large discretionary element here. So this court doesn't need to wait on the Supreme Court, because even if the Supreme Court of Florida were to say that that regulatory structure is unconstitutional, the Florida First District Court of Appeal, the appellate court that handled the Florida-grown case, has said that the department would then, pursuant to the Constitution, would have to go back and now craft new regulations for processes to take in applications and register applicants, because there is an obligation under the Constitution to ensure safe product. You know, it is still a Schedule I substance. It is considered medicine in Florida, but there's still an obligation of the Constitution to make it safe. So the First District Court of Appeal has repeatedly, not once but twice now, in the MedPure opinion as well, which we cited in our answer brief, said, look, even if the department's regulations are invalid, even if the legislature's statutory structure is unconstitutional, that doesn't mean everyone gets a license, or even that Del Favero in this instance would get a license. What it means is that structure is unconstitutional under Florida law, and the department, and perhaps the legislature itself, need to go back to the drawing board and create new regulations, because, above all, the Florida Constitution requires that the department enact regulations to protect safety and the welfare of the patients who will be consuming this medicine.
So why wouldn't we then wait to see the outcome of that process under McKinney?
Because even if you did, then all it means is that the very regulations under which they claim a right were unconstitutional to begin with, and they wouldn't have any due process argument to raise. There's simply no property interest here either way. If the regulations are valid, the window was not open. They're arguing about process.
I'm sorry. So just to be clear, your position is there's no property interest, so we don't look at McKinney. Is that what you're saying?
We're saying there's no property interest. You can end the analysis there. If there is a property interest, the 14th Amendment doesn't protect it. And even if it did, the McKinney line of cases in this context, or the McKinney case and its progeny in this context, supports the concept that their mandamus action, which they have pending, and the Florida-grown case, to which they are a party, provides all the process that is due.
Okay, so that's my question. Why wouldn't we just assume then that there is a property interest without deciding, and then deal with it on McKinney?
You could. We don't have I think that's fine. I think it would be consistent with McKinney. Problem?
Are you arguing that there's some reason that if we did that, that the McKinney analysis would not end in your favor?
No, we think the McKinney analysis does weigh in our favor. I think the appellants have raised today the question of pre-deprivation process, but it's not a hard and a fast rule. If you look at the Matthews versus Eldridge U.S. Supreme Court case, the case basically says, look, it depends, right? What are you talking about in terms of the private interest? What's the government's interest? And what's the risk of deprivation? And when you look at what is being alleged in the complaint here, we think the pre-deprivation process is satisfied, one, by the Florida Supreme Court, the Florida Constitution's provision that allows you to bring a claim at any time to say, hey, the government's not registering or it is not complying with the Constitution in terms of regulations. But we also think that you don't need pre-deprivation because, again, all of this, in accordance with McKinney, right, can be resolved in state court via a mandamus claim, a declaratory judgment action, and the like. I suspect.
Well, wait, counsel, let me ask you this. He's claiming damages for not having granted a license, default license. What remedy is there for that if his claim is valid?
If his claim is valid,
you can't get that in the mandamus, can you?
You cannot.
Or judgment action, can you?
Correct. You wouldn't be able to get damages, but I believe the damages they're seeking are reliance damages. You can't get both in any event, it would seem to us. If you get the license, you should have relied on the process and spent the money to prepare. But the bigger point here is that I believe the McKinney case specifically stated that identical damages or identical relief isn't necessary. So the fact that you couldn't necessarily get damages against the state of Florida in a mandamus action doesn't mean that the remedy isn't, or the process through mandamus in a Florida court is not adequate. And in the McKinney case in that regard is consistent with other circuits and with the Supreme Court itself.
I didn't read McKinney as saying the fact you can't get damages is irrelevant.
I don't think it said it was irrelevant, but it was, I think the McKinney case, and I'm trying very quickly to find the exact location, does stand for the proposition based on Supreme Court precedent that the relief or the remedy available does not have to be identical.
Not have to be identical is one thing, and not give him half of the relief he's seeking is another thing.
But the relief they're seeking, Your Honor, respectfully, is the license.
And No, counsel. He also seeks damages for not having been given a license when he claims he was entitled to.
I agree that is claimed in the complaint, but it's a little more involved than that. The damages that they seek are reliance damages, meaning that they spent money in order to obtain items, a location, a facility, et cetera.
So what?
Because if you have to spend that anyway to get the license, you're not harmed if you're given the license.
Well, what you're saying is his claim doesn't have any merit. That's different from saying the remedy under Florida law if the claim does have merit.
No, what I'm saying is that the it's not that it doesn't have merit, that you can't recover under 1983 for both. In other words, if your claim is that you were deprived of the property, the license is the property, and you were deprived of it, and that cost you, I'm making this up, $1 million. In a Florida, if you are able to get the license, then it's made you whole because the million was spent.
No, it hasn't. He's claiming that, as I understand it, is that his damages was he wasn't given the default license when he says he was entitled to.
I'm trying to find the specific allegations. I have it.
Well, we can find that, but assume with me that is in fact what he's pleaded. He's pleaded, I'm owed money because I have now lost money from not having the license 2 years ago, 1.5 years ago, when I was entitled to it.
I think the McKinney case turns on whether it's satisfactory, and I think it's page 1564 of the opinion, whether the remedy in the state court would be satisfactory. And our position is,
and his argument is, no, it's not satisfactory because it won't give me $1 million. Who would be satisfied with not getting $1 million when you were entitled to it under his position?
Respectfully, the applicants who would get the license, because the license is worth a lot more than $1 million. If you get the license that you claim that it was taken from you, we're giving you back through mandamus that which you claim was taken. So you're made whole and you're better off because now you can make
You're not making it whole because you didn't have the license for a year or a year and a half. That is self-evident. If you claim I was entitled to a license at the beginning of 2020 and I still haven't gotten it, the fact that you get a license in 2021 doesn't make you whole. That's self-evident. Why are you arguing with that?
I'm arguing with that because the question is, it's a timing issue. Ultimately, the thing taken from you is given back to you. And what we're saying is there are no damages in between. That's, if you look at the regulatory structure, there wouldn't be any money that would be made in that period of time because there's approximately a one-year ramp up to work. So it's not as simple as I didn't have it for a year, therefore I'm not made whole. I think if you're arguing, as the appellant is here, that the thing the state took from me is the license, and we give you the license, non-use of it is not, we think, something that would not render the relief in state court sufficient. I see I'm about to lose my time here. For all the reasons that we've stated today and for all the reasons in our brief, we ask that the district court's judgment be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lombard. Mr. Wilkinson, you've reserved some time for rebuttal.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
Let me just ask you this question. What's the best argument that you can make that you have a property interest under state law in the license application process itself?
So I would look to the statute that I quoted, A. I would look to the provision of the Constitution that provides that these licenses, that this licensing process needs to start by a certain time, and the provision that provides a cause of action if that is not done. And I would look to the department's concession based on Florida law that when a group of people are competing for a limited resource, they are entitled to a comparative hearing to determine who is the most qualified person to receive that. And those state law property interests and those provisions are just as strong as those that have been held to create a property interests in other applicant cases like Patuala, like Hornsby in the Fifth Circuit, where the assertion was that I applied for something and I was denied it without being given due process.
Okay, so when we look at your complaint, we can construe it as you're seeking from the state due process in the license application process itself and not in the license or not in the right to sell contraband in the state of Florida. Is my understanding correct?
We're not seeking the right to sell contraband in Florida. We're seeking a property interest in the license itself, which we are entitled to based on these safeguards that provide that it can only be denied under certain circumstances.
A property interest in the license or a property interest in the, you just want to be able to apply to obtain the license.
That's what correct. In any due process claim, all we can really ask for, aside from damages, is a determination as to whether we're entitled to the license. It's ultimately up to the state whether anyone receives a license in any case. What we're saying is that the state did not adhere to the minimum requirements of due process in considering, or more aptly, failing to consider Del Fabra's application. And I think this would be a different story if the Florida Department of Health had just held off on issuing any licenses whatsoever, but that hasn't been the case. Over 15 individuals and 6 alleged in the complaint received licenses despite the claims that the licensing process was not open. So our contention is if the state is going to follow this scheme for some people, it needs to follow it for others. And any license given to another organization that applied while claiming that the application process is closed to Del Fabro amounts to a depredation for Del Fabro because there's at present a limited number of licenses. And to Judge Rosenbaum's point, the pending state court actions don't really change that because of the department's request. They sought and obtained a stay, which essentially leaves in place this limited quantity current statutory scheme until the Florida Supreme Court has issued a decision.
Counsel, real quick, because sure. I didn't see it or don't understand it from the briefs. Were those licenses granted under the default provision? I didn't get that impression, or as settlement of a lawsuit?
So those licenses were granted following a Department of Administrative Hearings proceeding. And Del Fabro is not only claiming that they're entitled to the license under the default provision, they're claiming entitlement under the basic statutory scheme, but the default provision is more of an alternative argument. So those 6 applicants were competing for the same licenses that Del Fabro was.
They got a hearing and you didn't.
They got a license and we didn't.
I'm sorry, they got a hearing, the result of which was they got a license.
Correct.
I read somewhere in one of the briefs that it was part of a settlement. Is that just off the wall?
We don't know the justification for giving those licenses out. The department claimed that, per a complaint, the department claimed that those individuals were not qualified to have a license under the provision they sought them for. And even following those licenses, others have been granted outside of those administrative hearing cases. So,
Mr. Wilkerson, I've got that, and that's helpful, but I hope that the presiding judge will give me some leeway here. I'd like to hear you respond to some questions I have about the supremacy clause and the fact that the Controlled Substances Act makes this a crime and the appropriations rider doesn't make it a non-crime. And CSA also specifically says there's no property interest in contraband. And it seems to me like, and this is a big deal, I think, that what you're asking to do is for the federal courts through the due process clause to help you further your interest in violating federal law, because you're in effect attempting or conspiring among yourself and the folks who are on your client's side. I'm not saying this unethical, I'm just saying it's a fact, to violate the Controlled Substances Act, because there's no exception in it for the medical marijuana. And I'm familiar with the rider, but the rider just holds the prosecution's hand. It doesn't make it a non-crime. So I'm not aware of any situation in which a federal court has held that the due process clause entitles a litigant to an injunction that will help further its interest in violating federal law. That's a question.
So what we're seeking specifically is something that was passed by the Florida voters to modify specifically Florida's regulation of...
I understand all that, but the ultimate goal, and you're quite candid about it, is to facilitate the sale of a Schedule I drug that is a crime under federal law.
And that what the ultimate goal of the parties are, we contend, is not relevant when we're dealing with a licensing scheme.
Of course it's relevant. Let's say that Florida decides we got too many dogs. They're everywhere. We need to raise some money. So we're gonna legalize dog fight. And we're gonna take the proceeds from the dog fight and build better humane society shelters. That's against federal law. It's a federal crime. Now, would you say that if your client was interested in opening one of those dog fighting rings, that he could go into a federal court and say, I have a property interest under state law in having one of those and having my application received, and therefore order the state to let me do that?
So what our position is that if Florida law treats one class of individuals who hold a license differently from another class of individuals, it doesn't matter what that license is for, whether it's to cut hair, to serve liquor,
No. Cutting hair, serving liquor is not selling marijuana. Let me make the hypothetical one step further. Suppose Florida says, look, we've been sending these people off forever on child pornography charges. And so has the feds. But we're going to permit child pornography up to age 16. I'm sorry, after age 16, but not up to age 16. The federal statute makes it a crime up to age 18. And you apply for a license. Your client applies for a license. And he is deprived of the procedures that state law provides. He's not given a hearing, or he gets a license and he's about to lose it. Now, you telling me your client can come into federal court and say, enjoin them to treat me fairly in my effort to sell child pornography that violates federal law?
If so, where those examples differ from where we're in is that in those cases, even if someone obtained that license, it would be undesirable because they would immediately be federally prosecuted for what they're doing, whether it be child pornography, dog fighting,
suppose there's a rider on the appropriations bill that says you shan't spend any federal funds to violate folks in this who authorized it and engaged in it from 16 to 18.
If there's a certain class of people who are subject to state prosecution as a result of having that license, and a certain class of people who aren't, whether you hold that license should be subject to the minimum requirements of due process, whatever that is.
All right. I thought that was your position probably, but I just wanted to make sure.
Under that that last hypothetical, you would not be asking for the right to sell child pornography, just the right to apply for a license to sell child pornography. It doesn't mean that you would actually use that license to sell child pornography. Is that the argument that you're making, that you were denied in this case the right to apply for a license, but not to use that license?
That's certainly what people have done. And that's certainly part of it, is that possessing the right to do something or possessing an immunity from prosecution is not equivalent to actually performing the act. I just think that we're not dealing with child pornography here. We're not dealing with dogfighting. And the reason that we're seeking it is because there is a difference in opinion in the public and in members of Congress regarding medical marijuana. So that's our position on that issue.
That's all the questions I have, Judge Wilson.
I think we have the arguments. Thank you, Mr. Lombard and Mr. Wilkerson.
Thank you.